I'd like to title this message today, Things Are Going to Get Messy. Things are going to get messy. I appreciate the goodness of God and Him touching hearts and lives this morning. Sometimes we have the misunderstanding or the misconception that just because God comes by and bless and we're touched doesn't mean that we're still not going to go through some storms. Look at your neighbor and say, it's going to get better. It's going to get better. All through the Word of God, it gives us examples after examples after examples of how people's lives get messy. Sometimes they get messy by their own choosing. Sometimes they get messy by things that they have nothing to do with. Life sometimes is just messy. Sometimes life deals us the bitter spoon instead of a spoon of honey. We must understand that just because our life gets messy, we cannot throw in the towel and quit. When it seems like it's the messiest, it's when God's getting ready to do something. So I'd like to read to you this morning from the book of 2 Kings, just getting started, okay? On 2 Kings, beginning chapter 5, verse number 8. Verse number 8. And I want you to listen real carefully. This may seem like a message to get your dauber down, but it's not. It's a message to help you and encourage you that even in messy times, you got to stay focused, keep your mind on Jesus Christ, and knowing that He is near. He knows where you're at. He knows what's going on. He knows what's happening. Verse 8 of chapter 5 of 2 Kings, and it was so, when Elijah, the man of God, had heard that the king of Israel had rent his clothes, that he sent to the king, saying, wherefore hast thou rent thy clothes? Let him now come to me, and he shall know that there is a prophet in Israel. To set the stage of the first 7 verses of that chapter, Naaman is a man in the armies of Syria. He is a high-ranked officer. He's a very wealthy officer. He's got things going his way, but he's got a problem. He's got an issue. Can anybody relate to that? Things may look good on the outside, but sometimes there's an issue on the inside. In Naaman's situation, he had leprosy. And he had told his king that there was a little girl that he had taken captive that was his wife's handmaiden, and she helped in the house, and she knew about Elijah the prophet, and said, if you'll go to Israel, the man of God will heal. Well, he talked to his king. His king wrote a letter to the king of Israel, and that's why Israel's king was so upset. Am I God that I can heal? So that's where we are right now. So Naaman came with his horses, with his chariots, and stood at the door of Elisha. The king was upset. Elisha heard about it and said, why don't you send him here? And Elijah sent a messenger unto him, saying, go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and thy flesh shall come unto thee again, and it shall be clean. But Naaman was wroth, and went away and said, behold, I thought, listen carefully. Listen, you need to get this. I thought, somebody say, I thought, he would surely come out to me and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and strike his hand over the place and recover the leper. Now is not Abana and Pharpan, rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? May I not wash in them and be clean? So he turned and went away in rage. Verse 13. And his servant came unto him, spake unto him and said, my father, if the prophet had bid thee to do some great thing, wouldst thou not have done it? How much rather, when he said to be washed and be clean? Then he went down, and he dipped himself 7 times in Jordan, according to the saying of a man of God, and his flesh came again like the flesh of a little child, and he was clean. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Father God, we need you today. Stir up our hearts and our minds and help us to grasp the goodness of God. Amen. Repeating what I said a while ago, Naaman was an awesome guy. He had it all together for the most part. But he had leprosy. You know, there's so many times we may even pray and say, God, everything else is going really good in my life, but here's this one thing that I just can't seem to get past. I can't seem to get over. I can't seem to get healed. I can't seem to get it all together. Anybody have any buts in your life? Yeah. Naaman thought money could solve all of his problems. Because you read in the scripture, he took a whole bunch of silver, a whole bunch of gold. Naaman thought that the prophet was going to do something miraculous. How many times have we asked God to do something and we think he's going to do something miraculous? But he chooses to do the simple. When God focuses in on your condition, we sometimes have a misconception on how God's going to do it. Naaman thought that he should get special treatment because of who he was. Hello? But God, most generally, he can do spectacular things. He proved that when he walked on water. Peter walked on water. He proved that when he separated the Red Sea and they walked across on dry ground. He's proved that over and over and over again. And we sometimes have that misconception that God's going to do something awesome. When all the time, he's just waiting to calm the troubled waters of your soul. Naaman thought he was somebody and that he had arrived. And the prophet of God was going to come out, wave his hand over him, speak some real fabulous words, and poof, things was going to, he was just going to be healed just like that. You see, the biggest problem that Naaman had, he thought he was hot snot on the silver platter, and he wasn't nothing but a cold booger on a paper plate. Are you awake now? I know some of you can't believe it, and my wife will be in convulsions for the rest of the day. But sometimes I got to get your attention. You're already lulling to sleep. Naaman thought he was something. Can I tell you the only way we are something is when God is in the middle of us. When God is in the middle of us, that's when we're something. We often expect, and then when God don't do the miraculous, we get our dauber all down and we're in the mully grubs and we don't show up for church for a couple, 3 weeks or so, and we quit praying, we quit reading, we quit talking to Him because God didn't do it like we thought He ought to do it. Come on, somebody. God often removes the simplicity, the simple things with the simple things. He removes the messy things in our life with the simple things that He chooses to use. Sometimes, in fact, probably most of the time, in our lives, things will seem to get worse before they get better. Before there's a breakthrough comes, our situation can get really messy. So let me remind you, don't throw in the towel when you feel like things are falling apart and God's not listening. I want to tell you and encourage you today, listen to me closely. Get ready for your hopeless situation is about to become hopeful. Did you hear me today, church? I said your hopeless situation is about to become hopeful. Your situation of impossibility is about to become possible. You see, all things are possible with God in your situation, in my situation. In our weakness, He is made strong. You cannot predict how God's going to move and how God's going to work. And it really doesn't make any difference. He'll get the job done. So I want to tell you today, what's been keeping you up all night? Hello? What's caused you to wring your hands and given you migraines has taken away your money for all the doctors and the lawyers and the counselors. It might get more messy before it gets better, but I'm encouraging you today, don't lose heart, don't lose your faith. Things are about to turn around. Look at your neighbor and say, hang in there. I got a feeling as I was talking to God about this that several of us here today could fit this situation of one of the examples that I'm going to give. There's sometimes it's healing that's messy situations. There's sometimes it's financial situations that get messy. There's sometimes that it's family situations that get messy. There's sometimes that we just make our life messy because we make some wrong decisions. God's not forsaken. Several of us here today were baptized in the Jordan River that our text is talking about. We've been there, done that. I'm here to tell you it is cold. I mean, it's cold. And I'm here to tell you it's muddy. It's not the prettiest river you'd want to really jump in. But I want you to know it's not what your circumstances are that is surrounding you. Listen, it's not your circumstances that you're in that is surrounding you, that's controlling you. But it's your faith in our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that can and will deliver you and set you free. For whom the Son set free, He is free indeed. Listen, did you hear me? The circumstances that you feel like you're grounding in is not what's going to destroy you. Those things will not destroy you because there is a Savior, there is a Master of the wind and the seas and the waves that's on top of the situation. Oh my. I figured I'd get some good shouts right about there. I'm going to give you some biblical examples that will fit most of your circumstances at one point in your life. And some of you are dealing with it right now. Even right now. So with Naaman in mind and how his circumstances, he had to get downright muddy. He had to get in the circumstances before he got healed. But God was faithful. I want to tell you about a man in the book of John, chapter 9. I'm going to give you several scriptures, but maybe you just want to make some notes on the back of your bulletin and look them up later. Jesus heals the blind man he was born in that condition by making mud from his spit in the dust and putting it on the man's eyes. Are you listening? We try to often analyze our situation when we think we might have been the problem, or others say, look at that's their problem, when all God is after is to receive glory Himself. Now listen, let me qualify that. John chapter 9, verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, He saw the man that was blind from birth. Even His disciples said, hey, what's up with this? Is he the one that sinned that's caused him to be blind, or is it his mom and daddy? What's the problem? And Jesus said, ain't neither one. But that the works of God should be made manifest in his life. You see, sometimes we misconstrue what God's trying to do. We try to look for the situation or the cause of the problem. And if we can find the cause of the problem, we can sometimes fix it. Hello? Hear me. Don't make me tell another one of them jokes to wake you back up. We try to analyze. That's what I'm trying to say. We try to analyze our situation. And all the whole time, God's working in your life with some messy situations so He can get the glory out of it and increase your faith. We get all down in the dumps because we're going through and we're facing some situation when all the time God's wanting to get some glory out of it and through your life to increase your faith. Something happened in our lives so God can get the glory through you. So I encourage you today, do not begrudge what you're going through. Don't begrudge or feel bad because it's poor, poor me. Don't feel bad because you're going through the things you're going through. Listen, things could get messier, but the God that I serve is saying, I'm here to get glory out of it. Turn loose and let me get a hold of the reins. I'll show you what I can do. It may not be like you think it ought to be done. You can analyze it all you want to, but God's in control. He can do it. Don't try to analyze it. He said, I must work the works in verse number 4. I must work the works of Him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. And as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. This is the verse number 6. And when He had thus spoken, He spit on the ground. I'm not sure how old this guy was. I would say he was in his adult years. And he had been blind from birth. Can you imagine? Can you imagine being blind from birth? And now you come to someone that can heal you. He could wave His hand over him and heal him. He could say, be thou made whole, and he would be made whole. But Jesus chose to spit in the dust. Are you listening to me? Things could get messier before they get better. He spit in the dust, made some mud, and put on His eyes. You know, if he would be like most of us, we'd say, wait a minute, what's you talking about? You're going to spit in the mud, and with your spit, you're going to make, or spit in the dust, and with your spit, you're going to make mud. Come on, somebody, get real with me here. Think about it for just a moment. Things had to get messier before they got better. Are you listening to me? The circumstances of our life sometimes are like Naaman. You may have to wash in a muddy river. You may have to get mud in your eye. Brother, you ever heard that saying? It's mud in your eye, brother. Well, this was mud in his eyes. Things are going to get messier before they get better. And he said, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. You go wash in the pool of Siloam. The blind man is now experiencing with mud that was made out of a spit, smeared on his eyes, and our attitude would be, really? But you know what the secret is? Just do what Jesus said and let Him do the rest. Is obedience. If Naaman had never went to the river, Jordan River, if the man had never went to the pool of Siloam, Naaman would have died with leprosy and the man would have died still blind. But because of obedience, I don't know. These two first circumstances I preached to you were circumstances in the healing aspect that was nothing that these guys could do anything about it. But it was for the glory of God. So what I want to express to you today in these two first instances and situations was, let God be God in your life. Again, don't begrudge what's happening and what's going on. Don't sing that song, poor, poor me. But give God space, give God time, and let God get the glory through your life. He is working on you. He is building your character. Some of you are saying right now, you're fighting, you're wrestling. You don't want no more character. You've had all the character you want. Hello? But God's working on your character. Sometimes it's through avenues that you have nothing to do about. But can I tell you, just because it had nothing you had anything to do with, or is something that's directly caused by your choices, can I tell you today that God's still God and He still loves you and He's still watching out for you? Yes. Amen. So I'm going to take to you to the book of Luke chapter 15 and tell you a story that most of us heard 100,000 times. But I want to tell you from a little different perspective from the inside out. You see, the prodigal son had fallen to the bottom. I said he had fallen to the bottom by his own choice. And things really got messy for him. Before he realized where he really was and what was going on, things got messy for him. Verse 12, chapter 15, book of Luke. And the younger of them said to his father, "Father, give me what's mine, and I'm going to get out of here. I've had enough." And his father divided and gave him his part of his share of inheritance. And not many days after that, the younger of the son gathered all the things and took his journey to the far country. I noticed something here I never really noticed before. He didn't leave immediately. Hello? Listen to me. He did not leave immediately. How many times have we struggled to make bad choices and decisions, and we struggled with it several days, but we didn't do it immediately? But then when we did do it, it wasn't long. We was wondering why and how in the world did we get ourselves in this mess? The Bible says that not many days after that, he picked up his stuff, loaded it up, and he went and he wasted his inheritance on partying, fancy living, the best of the best, thought he was having the time of his life. Anybody with me? He wasted. Somebody say wasted. Sometimes we waste our substance. Sometimes we waste days and years. Verse 14, and when he had spent all, there rose a mighty famine in the land, and he began to be in want. You remember when I told you things will get worse before they get better? He had made his choices, and things was bad, and he was at the bottom of the barrel. He didn't have nothing in his pockets left to get him out of this mess. And then on top of all that, a famine coming to the land. I mean, it went from bad to worse. The food banks dried up. Anybody listening to me? And he went and joined himself to citizens of that country. And they sent him into the field to feed the swine. And he would have fainted or failed to have filled his belly with the husks that the swine did eat, and no man gave unto him nothing. I mean, it got bad. Verse 17, and when he came to himself, somebody said he came to himself. He said, "How many hired servants of my father have bread enough to spare, and I perish with hunger." I looked at the circumstances and the situation here, and he come up with nothing better. He had spent everything he had. There had become a famine in the land. And to the Jews, the pigs were the worst of the worst anyway. But he found himself down in the pig pen. Things was getting worse. And he not only did he not have anything to eat, he did not have a job, but he had to eat what the pigs was eating. Nothing better. He came to himself. Wait just a minute. And I thought, what a waste. He spent it all. And then a terrible famine come. Things only got worse. Can I tell you that he was forced to join to be a part of something, a citizen, just to feed the hogs? He was forced to join to that which he did not want to be a part of. Things can get worse. He could have went to the city council and said, "Can you not make me a street sweeper? Can I not be a meter reader?" But to send me to the hogs, that's the epitome. But things had to get worse for him to get better. But you know what? There was a father back home. And every morning, let's have church now, okay? There was a father back home. Every morning when he got up, he went out to the roadside and was looking down the road. This is the day son's coming home. This is the day son's coming home. I want you to know, whether it's a choice of your own or no choice that you had at all, There's a Heavenly Father that's looking down the road waiting for you to come back home. Yes, sir, and yes, ma'am. I said, there's a Heavenly Father that wants to put a ring on your finger, a robe on your back. I'm telling you, we serve a God that does not forget. And He's a forgiving God. Regardless of what your circumstance is right now, He loves you and He cares for you. And He's welcoming you back home. I'm telling you, sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. But it doesn't mean that God's forgotten you. Never, never, never has God forgotten you. I got a couple more illustrations. Because I know, I feel in my spirit that some of you need to relate to some of these situations. In the book of Genesis, we're going from the New Testament to the Old Testament. In the book of Genesis, I don't know how many people I've talked to that this touches their lives somewhere. Jacob and Esau was at odds with each other. And Jacob flees on the advice of his mother, for his brother Esau would have killed him when his father died, because Jacob had traded his brother for his birthright. Connived out of it. He could have given him pottage without taking his birthright. He was his brother. But he right out stole Esau's blessing. Sometimes family situations get messy. But with God's help, there can be resolution. Is anybody listening to me right now? Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. The deceit within their mother, there is no wonder it caused dissension among the boys. If you read the story, it's like, I'm thinking, Mama, what are you thinking about? What are you thinking about? And somebody in their theological mode says, but it was all of God's plan. Hello? You know, God does have a plan. Jeremiah 29:11. He has a will, a perfect will, and a permissive will. Sometimes we get in God's way and we mess up His will. So He has to take ulterior plans to get where He needs to go. Hello? Esau hated Jacob. The day of mourning for his father was at hand. Then Esau said, I'll kill my brother. These words of Esau, her elder son, was told to Rebekah. And she called to Jacob, her younger son, and said to him, behold, thy brother Esau, as touching thee, doth comfort himself, purposing to kill you. Now therefore, my son, obey my voice, arise, flee to Lebanon, for my brother to Lebanon, my brother at Haran, and tarry with him until thy brother's fury turn away. I wish I had the time to tell the whole spectrum of this story, but it really gets messy. It really gets messy. The whole circumstance, and he runs and he falls asleep and has an experience with the angel descending and ascending. Down the ladder, y'all remember that? Jacob's ladder? Hello? He journeys quite a while. He takes his family. He separates them because he heard Esau was coming. Things can get messy. Things can get messy. So we have healing issues, illness issues. We have financial issues, and now we got family issues. Tarry here. Rebecca was telling Jacob, tarry with my brother for a while till your brother's fury turns away, till he gives it up. Esau and Jacob, through the messiness of their lives, the deceitfulness of a mama, the greed of a brother, and the hatred. You know, as I begin to see this, that even the more so, You know, sometimes if we're not real careful, we'll allow the devil to make things messier in our lives by our own choices. Are you with me? God has made provisions to get us out of it, but we get rebellious. Hello? Somebody say rebellious? We get rebellious, and so we do things that we normally would not do so we can get back at somebody that's done us bad. Hello? Do you understand and realize that after Esau had heard what Rebekah had done and what Jacob had done, and Isaac had given Jacob the blessing, do you realize that Esau was so upset and he was so distraught that he ran to his daddy's brother Ishmael and took Ishmael's daughter for wife along with his other wives? Are y'all getting that? I know that's deep theological, but Ishmael's not a good person. And he took a wife out of spite. He took Ishmael's daughter out of spite. You talk about things getting messy. They was at odds with each other already. Hello? I'll try to conclude here. You know, we sang that Christmas song about the kids having the food dance before their eyes. I can see in your eyes, you got chicken legs dancing before your eyes. When I talked about Ishmael's daughter getting married to Esau, some of you checked out. And I'm telling you, some of you's had some family situations that was messy. You didn't have a clue how that's going to be worked out. But I'm telling you, there's an altar. And there's times you're going to have to hang on to God with everything that's within you and not turn loose till He touches your life. Man, that'll preach. Some of you miss that. I said there's times in your life, whether it's the illness, whether it's finances, or whether it's family problems, there's times you're going to have to make you an altar, and you're going to have to stay there and grab a hold of the horns of the altar, grab a hold of God, and don't turn loose till God touches you. Wow. It's only because of the providence and the mercy and the grace of God. It was a heart condition. God touched the heart of Jacob and Esau that brought them back together. There was a reconciliation only after God had an encounter, or should I say, when Jacob had an encounter with God. Did you hear me? A messy family situation, but when Jacob had an encounter with God, things got better. Okay, I'm about to finish. All I like is finishing, okay? John chapter 11. I think this is my last illustration. Got a few more scriptures, but my last illustration anyway. Things are going to get messy before they get better. It was 4 days after Lazarus' death, and the circumstances seemed to be pretty messy. And could I also insert the word stinky? Anybody had situations in your life that was not only messy, but they was kind of stinky? In our eyes, our circumstances seem unjustifiable. But when Jesus steps into our space, a peace replaces the confusion, and the stink is deodorized with the sweet aroma of the Master. I got to say that again, because some of you is thinking about those chicken legs again. Listen, lay them down. In our eyes, our circumstances seem unjustifiable. And I say that because Martha said, Jesus, if you'd have been here, our brother wouldn't have died. You messed up. Hello? She went to get Mary. Mary come and met Jesus and said, Jesus, if you'd been here, our brother wouldn't have died. Our circumstances seem unjustifiable because we know if he had been here, things wouldn't have turned out the way they were. in the way they did. But when Jesus steps into our space, did you get that? When Jesus steps into your space, a peace replaces confusion. And the stink in our life is deodorized by a sweet aroma of the Master. You know the story. We've heard it preached 100,000 times in 100 different ways. Lazarus would come forth. Somebody said if he hadn't mentioned his name, Lazarus, that the whole graveyard would have come up. Probably so. But I probably figured there was probably more than one Lazarus that was there in the cemetery. But he knew which one he was talking about. Oh, come on. I'm here to tell you. There may be a whole bunch of you people with your name, but he knows where you're at. If you'll Google your name, you'll find out that they are all over the world. People's names that are just like your name. Even the middle initial. But can I tell you, God knows who he's talking to and who he's talking about. They come to the cemetery. Mary, Martha, several of the Jews followed. Jesus wept. Not long after we started the church, I have to tell this because Brother Billy's here this morning. He bought me a little commentary. And that little commentary, I still got it today, but he made a homemade cover on it. And the homemade cover on the front, it said, "How to Prepare Short Sermons." You remember that, Brother Billy? And a few weeks after that, I preached on Jesus wept for 45 minutes. And he said, This didn't work. The Jews followed and said, he must have really loved him. And that's been explained 100 different ways as well. He cared for him. Maybe he regretted calling him back from the grave because he knew he was going to be with the Father. But whatever. And some said to them, could not this man, which opened the eyes of the blind, had caused this man that he wouldn't even have died in the first place? See what I'm saying? Listen to me, church. We try to justify our situation and make it better through our justification. But God wants to simply get glory of where you're at. Yes. Jesus, therefore, again, groaned within himself. Coming to the grave, he was at a cave. And a stone lay upon it. I love verse 39 of this chapter. Jesus said, take away the stone. And Martha said, no, Jesus, it's stinking right now. You may have a bandage on today. You may have a physical bandage on. You may have a spiritual bandage on. And underneath that bandage, it's pretty stinky. It's pretty messy. A few years ago when I had shoulder surgery, and about 6-7 days later, it started looking really angry. And I went to the doctor, and I had developed somehow staph in that shoulder. And while I was laying in his office without being put out, he had to cut out all that staph. Literally. You can ask my wife. I turned about as white as a sheet. He had to cut that out. Now, my thoughts was, I was going to justify, he's going to have to sew that up. But that wasn't the deal. Are you hearing me? He had to leave the wound open and pack it. And it had to heal from the inside out. Hello? There's times in our life, whether it's physical or spiritual, that we have to heal from the inside out. We've had circumstances in our life that has tore us up. And it's nasty, it's messy, and it's stinking. And we find the circumstance of Lazarus right here. He had been dead 4 days. But can I tell you, there is no time factor with Jesus. He can heal you. He can touch you. He can raise you from the dead. He can bring you up out of that spiritual grave and set your feet back upon a solid rock. I'm here to tell you today that the prayer meeting you had already today with this message that I'm preaching to you can be sweeter than you've ever experienced before, because regardless if you don't feel a whole lot different than you did when you come, do not lose hope, because the God that I serve is fixing to speak to your stinky situation, and He's fixing to deodorize you and bring life back into you and touch your life. Listen, I know I'm speaking to somebody here today. Ain't a doubt in my mind the Holy Ghost is speaking to somebody's heart today. Martha said, you can't take away the stone. He's stinking already. He's been dead 4 days. And Jesus said to her, if thou will only believe. Somebody say, Lord, I believe. Listen, what have I been talking to you about? The circumstances of our life is there because God wants to get the glory through you. Verse 40, if you'll only believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. And he took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee. I thank you. I thank thee that thou hast heard me. And I know that thou hearest me again, always. But because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. Verse 44, And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and feet with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. And Jesus said to him, loose him and let him go. Hey, I'm here to tell you, the Master has just stepped in your presence. I'm going to leave you with this. No matter what your circumstances is, you may be having illness, you may be having financial situations, you may have family problems, you may feel like you're as good as in the grave and you've been stinking, you've been dead so long. I just want to tell you right now, 4 scriptures I want to give to you. I want to tell you right now, 1 Kings chapter 20, in that chapter there, the enemy of Israel realized that God was the God of the hills and he was the God of the valleys. It doesn't matter what your circumstances is or where you're at, God's still God. Amen. Oh, glory. Amen. Psalmist David said in Psalms 85 and 6, he will revive us again. He asked the question, will you revive us again? Anytime we reach out to God, God will revive us and we will rejoice like the prodigal son coming back to the Father. I'll restore. I will revive. Hebrews chapter 13 verse 5, he said, I'll never leave you and I'll never forsake you. I don't know what your circumstance is, but God's God. In Psalms chapter 46 verse 1, God is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help in the time of need. Would you stand with me today? Listen, I just come to let you know that when He is in our presence, in our midst, there's peace. I don't know what you're facing, what your circumstances are, what you're dealing with. But I do know, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that the God that I serve, His Son, wants to wrap His loving arms all around you and let you know that everything's going to be all right. I want you to know today that if things get messy and messier and more messy, don't throw in the towel, don't be alarmed. God's fixing to turn things around and receive glory in and through your life. I said, God's fixing to receive glory in and through your life. Do you believe it?